and Ali Rewind.
Hi. This is on the TV, to the movie screen, and everywhere in between. This is the Hollywood Dirt with Ali.
I'm going to remind you of something you might have forgotten about. Did you forget about when Kim Kardashian got robbed at gunpoint and tied up and held in a bathtub?
In Paris?
Yeah, you remember that?
I do remember that, yes.
It was a long time ago now, but they have just now settled with the security company that was supposed to be protecting her. She got $6.1 million in the lawsuit. Obviously, it's not about money.
Yeah.
I don't think she cares about that. But they settled it up because as soon as this all happened in 2016, remember, her security guard went to the nightclub with Courtney and Kendall and went out and left her alone. And then these guys broke in who were posing as cops. They tied her up. They took, what, like a $5 million ring and millions of dollars in jewelry. So she immediately sued the company that was supposed to be protecting her, her security company. And it has now been settled finally. And she has won $6.1 million. So they were negligent, obviously. When you're paying someone to protect you for security and you get tied up in a bathtub and robbed, they probably didn't do their job.
Well, have you seen the Amanda Knox story?
A long time ago.
I just watched the Netflix documentary on it this past weekend.
Is she the one that was accused of murder in another country and she was like a college student?
Yes, she went to Italy and she was accused of killing the girl that she was living with. And her boyfriend were accused of
it. That's right.
Come to find out, like, the whole Italian government had, like, covered up all this evidence. They were horrible with the evidence. They, like, messed up the scene. There was no DNA connecting them there at all.
So she was framed. I vaguely remember watching that story.
But the whole time, you're thinking it's plausible she could have done it, but the way that her DNA was there didn't make any sense. It was this other guy who had already been arrested.
I remember her maintaining she didn't do it and just wanting to come back to America.
And then when she came back, there was all these horrible stories about her because they were like she was this crazed sex slave that did all these demonic things. And she was like, I never did any of this.
Equals conspiracy theory. Yes. Kooky. We were just talking about this off the air. I'm like, the internet really brings out these kooky conspiracy theories with some people.
Yeah.
But you can,
So Kim Kardashian getting money, not for reimbursement, but for emotional damage, I'm sure.
Because
Amanda Knox going to sue Italy now.
I can't even imagine. Yes. Yeah.
Sometimes I'll write mental health and I'll capitalize men in mental health. Because men are the absolute worst at talking about their feelings.
And expressing themselves. They internalize. Yes.
Yeah. Which a lot of the time, I will say probably 45 to 50% of the time when you ask a guy what he's thinking about, if he says nothing, he usually means nothing.
He's not thinking about anything.
Because a lot of times we are thinking about nothing.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of times there's that other 50%. I might even say 51%.
Okay.
And I know that's more than 100%, but I don't care. Because I think more often than not, men are saying they're okay when they're not okay. Because men are taught that they have to be the breadwinners for the family. They have to support.
BS. We're even still using that in 2020, that idea that men have to hold it all together for everyone. Yeah.
But it's in our DNA. Something about us, we always want to be, we want to have it together.
It's a masculine, I am taking care, I am strong.
Yeah.
It's kind of like how men think of, I'm with you. I don't want to get too far off.
It's part
off.
Of the reason
Go
why
on,
men
yes.
don't stop and ask for directions.
That's right.
Because we don't want to ask. We don't want to stop and ask for help. We don't want to have to. We wouldn't be able to do it on our own and fix it without asking anyone else. That way we can say when we got through it, we did it all on our own.
Right, but nobody cares but the guy.
Exactly.
Like the women aren't going, he couldn't do it without stopping. Like women don't care about that. But men, it's them inside.
Yeah
I get you.
That's why men internalize so much. Uh-huh. And I just found out yesterday again, an acquaintance of mine who I had met, I bought a car from the guy. So I spent a lot of time with him, just going back and forth with the dealing of a car. He was from Indiana. Like, we had a connection as far as where he was from. He grew up in Frankfort, Indiana. He was a Colts fan. I used to love the Colts. Yeah. I'm not a sports fan so much anymore.
Backwards state.
Yes.
Indiana.
And we laughed about that too, how backwards it was and how we shared stories about like our past in Indiana. Yeah. And we got along very well. And I found out, yesterday, like a lot of people find out about a death on Facebook. I just saw a picture of him on a mutual friend's page that said, RIP friend, you'll be missed.
Wait, he died?
Yeah, he died.
What do you mean he died?
Yeah, I didn't know what happened immediately.
So what happened?
I go, what the hell? He died? What happened?
Oh,
so I reached out to his friend that I was mutual friends with. I go, that's terrible because I reaching out to him as a friend and another person that worked with him and colleagues, I said, hey, if you guys need anything.
You were trying to figure out what happened to him. You're like, what happened?
Well, first I wanted to make sure he was okay, like his friend, his other friend. I go, are you okay? You just lost a friend. I said, if you don't mind, can I ask what happened? And he said he took his own life. It was a suicide.
Ugh.
And I was like, and I knew that.
Had you ever talked to this guy about mental health?
Thank you for asking that, because yes, I did.
You did?
He knew that I talked about mental health. Mm-hmm. He knew I lost my uncle to suicide. Mm-hmm. He knew that I talked a lot about it on the radio. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, that's cool that you do that. And that was it. We had moved on a couple times, but he brought it up twice. And mm-hmm. ever since I bought the car, I would go back and visit to get the oil changed. And I would always ask to see him. Mm-hmm. And I would say hello. We would chit chat and go on about our business. But we weren't great friends. It was an acquaintance. But still.
You remembered talking to him in depth.
And going back, I got a vibe. I'm so sorry about that. That's awful. Yeah, I'm sorry for his family and for his coworkers and everything. But I could tell that something was behind him, though. Like, I didn't want to dig because he's just a car salesman.
What do you mean something was behind him? What does that mean?
Looking into somebody's eyes, you can kind of tell when somebody has a lot going on, because at one point he had lost his job there. Oh. And I don't know what happened. If he left, if he got fired, I don't know what happened. And
I could just tell, like, he was. Who knows?
You can just get a feeling about some people. He was a very nice guy.
Yeah.
But I could tell he was 43.
Uh-huh.
So, like, a lot of that generation of men, those guys are like, push everything down, don't talk about things. Maybe, I don't know, I don't want to assume anything, but who knows? Men have problem with drinking, men have problem with, you know, if it's a erectile dysfunction or something like this.
As they get old,
they just start doing drugs, they're smoking pot or whatever to mask it, but don't mask it. Like, get it out of the darkness and dig the stuff out, like, as a man, because it's important for everybody, but men especially. Like, you're not weak.
No.
For reaching out and being like, hey, like, something's not right up here in my head. That's totally fine to not be fine.
Yeah.
Like, as weird as that sounds.
Mm-hmm. To ask for help.
There's a song, like, Marshmello has that song, It's Okay Not to Be Okay. Mm-hmm. They say that for a reason, because things go wrong.
Have you ever been suicidal?
Myself,
honestly?
No. I have not, no.
Okay, I was just curious. I've never asked you that directly, so
no,
I didn't
thank
know
you.
If you know what it actually feels like. But there's just such a point of no, you just don't have any hope. Mm-hmm. There's no hope.
You have
lost all hope.
You have, personally.
Personally is, yes. Yes, in your mind.
Yeah.
And there is just no way out.
Yes.
There are ways out, obviously, because I've been suicidal more than once. I've had attempts and I've gotten help, thank God.
Yeah.
So on the other side of that, you see that you can be helped.
Yeah.
And I wish people had more examples like that where they see more people who have come back from it to give them, but you need that hope.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Because you've just lost so, like, all the hope. There's just no way out, and you just want it over, and you want it over now, man. But there are so many ways
that can
help you. And I mean, look at me now.
You'd be surprised. Talking about it.
Just talk. I went to therapy. I used meds. I used every resource I could.
Yeah.
People that are alone.
In my research and my experience with suicide and suicide prevention over the last 5 or 6 years, I've heard stories of people who have attempted and survived.
Mm-hmm.
And like the guy that jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge and survived.
Whoa.
Said that he went there knowing he was going to jump off.
Yeah.
And he literally said to himself, if someone asks me what I'm doing or why I'm going to the Golden Gate Bridge, I'll tell them and I'll stop. He said, nobody said anything to me. He was like, I'm going to the Golden Gate Bridge. I'm bawling. I'm crying in public.
He wanted somebody
to care. Nobody said anything to him.
He wanted somebody to care.
Yeah.
Huh?
He goes, if one person would have said something, he just said as soon as he let go of the railing, like, he knew that he made the mistake, but somebody should have just reached out. So reach out to somebody.
He wanted someone to see his cry for help.
And nobody did. So sometimes we don't see
but
the signs.
But boy,
so.
Did he get saved by something.
And that's
Look
why,
at that.
And thank you.
Wow.
So thank you for saying, have you ever been suicidal to me? Because that's an important question to ask to people. So thank you.
Yeah. I have never thought to ask anyone else
that. It's okay to ask somebody that. And that's okay for them to say no. And maybe that not everybody is.
I see the phone ringing, but we can check that.
Yeah, we'll check that later.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling. It's 103.7.
Well, I'm sorry about your friend. And I wish men would talk about their feelings more because it's... It holds too, you back. It holds a lot of guys back, and I Dude, see it, and it's sad.
It holds you back physically,
on the
too.
The life you could be living in so many aspects, yeah. You know?
Your mental affects your physical really, yeah. really, really a lot. So yeah. ask for help. Reach out. It's okay to not be okay.
And you can call. We can discuss mental health sure. all you want. Yeah. We're open to it. We will discuss, yeah. discuss. 414-799-1037.
And there's great places, too, like Rogers Behavioral. They're great, too. You mm-hmm. reach out to them. They're a local place that can help you, too. It's 103.7. Kiss FM. Just talking about mental health, specifically men's mental health.
Yes.
Another man, acquaintance in my life, not a very close friend, but an acquaintance, took his own life.
Yeah.
Obviously, mental health issues there uh-huh. with a lot of people, and yeah. the pandemic hasn't helped this year. Mm-hmm. And you were just no. talking to Adam.
Yes, Adam. He didn't want to go on the air, but I thought he had some really important points to bring up.
Yeah, would you mind sharing with us, Adam? Go ahead.
Well, my name's Adam. Yeah. About 7 years ago, my brother took his own life. Uh-huh. I'm also a survivor of suicide attempts. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to bring up the fact that there's not a lot of help out there for people with financial issues. Mm-hmm. If anybody knows of any like sources that are open for people with financial issues, because it is one of the more expensive forms of medical treatment.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I agree. And Adam was like, I don't know if I want to go on the air. And I said, you should, because yeah. this is something that stops people from getting help sometimes. This is money, and we can talk about that. Let's talk about it.
And this yeah. is also why voting is important, too, because we do things like advocating for mental health, and mm-hmm. there are laws that are in place called parity, mental health parity, mm-hmm. which means that you shouldn't pay more for mental health than you do for your physical health. And that's a law, but a lot of healthcare companies don't follow it, so it's mm-hmm. hard to enforce this law. So mm-hmm. it's mm-hmm. part of the reason why you should vote. Like research candidates that have those types of platforms that value mental health and mental right. health care and access to mental health care, those are the type of people you need to vote for, not mm-hmm. just on the top from the president, but all the way down the ballot. Like look at your mm-hmm. local Congress people, your alder people, everybody. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of way you can make change.
Yeah, so. I thought it was fair what yeah. Adam said, though, and that sucks that
and
people
totally right.
feel like that's what stopped. Because I get messages from people, who do you go to? I don't have the right insurance, or my insurance doesn't cover yeah. this, and I can't afford it, and it breaks my heart.
Yeah.
You know, because medical bills can kill people, uh-huh. and that is not pun intended, but, you know, it really is, it's already a layer of stress, and then you're trying to get help, so I get
Let's
it.
Open, can we
issue.
Open a branch of 24/7 walk-in mental health clinics oh. where you just walk in and talk to a therapist 24 hours a day? They'll yeah. always have therapists on staff.
It'd be amazing.
And you pay what you can.
I would go in and be like, can I just get some moral support for the next 15 minutes
yes.
and then I'm out of here?
They
like, I would love that.
A 30-minute pep talk.
Yeah, just you know? Can you just text me for 10 minutes so I get back to,
We'll staff
you know?
A bunch of coaches and we'll have them all there and you can call. Maybe we could. Yeah, that's all
yeah.
it takes, man.
Yeah, well, Adam, I'm sorry about your brother
yeah.
and I'm glad you're still here.
Tell me one cool thing about your brother. Quick, go.
He was a genius.
Okay, Aww. He was a smart guy. Nice. Well, thank you for calling. We appreciate you listening this morning.
All right, thank you.
Take
Thanks,
care of yourself,
Adam.
Man.
We got Morgan in Waukesha on line one.
Ooh, Morgan,
Hi.
What's up?
Hey, girl.
Morning.
Hey,
how are you guys?
Good.
We're having an in-depth conversation about mental health this morning.
My daughter has suffered from mental health since she was 11 years old.
Yeah.
She's now 20. She posted something on Facebook the other day that really kind of hit me hard, and I'm actually going to start to cry.
It's all right.
It's okay.
I lost my youth to mental illness. Those are years I'll never get back, and it's not poetic. It's devastating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as a parent, you don't want to see your kids
no.
sad
and
or hurt or, yeah.
You know what you tell?
No, really good. She's going to be getting married, but getting that support constantly, going to your therapist, staying on your medication, mm-hmm. being a supportive parent, a sister, a brother, a grandmother, a grandfather, is so important. Mm-hmm. And I don't think a lot of parents understand that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Morgan, I love that you're being so open about this because I get it. It's got to be tough to be a parent of a kid with mental health issues.
Yeah.
We talk about ourselves. You know, the parenting right. alone is tough.
Morgan, you can...
I listen to you guys every morning.
Thank you.
And Allie, some of your stories are just freaking amazing.
Yeah.
And Reed, what you have gone through and what you have aired out on the air is amazing. And I really can't thank you guys enough for doing what you're doing and supporting such a serious cause where people are trying to push it under the rug and pretend that it's not there when it's...
No, it's there.
Or people are scared of it or, you know...
And it's there for everybody, too.
Well, and there is such a stigma, too, Morgan. I mean, I have, you know, I've had things said to me like, well, I don't want to mess with your mental health. Well, that's my
it's
thing.
Already been
that's
done.
Mine to manage.
It's already been
like,
done.
That is not about, it's already been done is right.
By the way, Morgan.
I can't go any lower, but Morgan, you're a strong mom.
Morgan,
that's for
will
sure.
you do me a favor? Tell your daughter not to look at her childhood with mental illness as a failure or as anything bad, and look at that as a learning experience, because look how far she's come from that and what she's grown. And what she can be. She's getting married. She has so much life to live. And her darkest chapters don't have to be her final chapter. She's got like so much
but
more
Riggs,
life to live. She's got stuff to look forward to. Yes.
I think what I hear is more of Morgan, the mom's
the mom
pain.
Part.
The kid is okay now.
Oh, yeah.
But as parents, you carry that pain that your kids have been through. So it's almost like Morgan is more mentally messed up now than her daughter. Does that make sense? As a parent, I get screwed up over my kids' issues more than they do, you know?
It is. And,
it's
and
tough.
Now, you know, I'm finding out that my older daughter is seeking psychological help.
Good.
She's doing amazing. And she said, Mom, you know, I just didn't want to come forward when my sister was going through all this.
Oh, no. So she didn't want to be another burden.
Right.
Aww.
Yep.
So it is. And I, like I said, I can't thank you guys enough.
Well, thank you for calling. We appreciate your kind words.
Thank you. Have a great morning.
You're a beautiful human being. Thank you for listening to us.
Yes, you are, girlfriend.
Hi. This is on the TV, to the movie screen, and everywhere in between. This is the Hollywood Dirt with Allie.
I was trying not to laugh reading this story, but I was cracking up at this. Miley Cyrus, listen to this, swears she had an encounter with a UFO. She swears she was shaken for days after making eye contact with an alien. But here, my first thought was, doesn't she open about her drug use?
Yes, she
and
was.
Of course, she said, well, I might have bought weed wax from a guy in a van in front of a taco shop before I saw it.
Okay, so it was a drug-induced alien encounter is what she's saying now? Drug-induced?
She said she was driving through San Bernardino in California with her friend. She got chased down, she says, by some sort of UFO. She said, I'm pretty sure about what I saw.
Okay.
And she said it could have been the weed wax. Not maybe it wasn't another life form, but I swear I saw it and other people saw it. She said the best way to describe it is a flying snowplow. It had this big plow in the front of it, and it was glowing yellow. I did see it flying, and my friend saw it too.
Truth is out there, man.
That's what Miley... Yeah, but she was on drugs, which make you paranoid. So what do you do? Come on.
Hey, that's the...
I can't take it.
They know when you're on drugs. That's when they come and get you. Because they know you're vulnerable because you're all high.
And
the aliens can come and take you. That's why you don't do drugs, kids, because aliens will come and take you. You see? I made
so
it into a life
not
lesson.
Seeing aliens because of the drugs and the paranoia.
The aliens
know they're on the drugs. Oh,
the aliens
that's
work
a hell
for
of
the
a
DEA.
Twist.
Don't you read into this stuff, Allie? Don't you
Is
read?
Is that what they say on Facebook these
days?
Yes,
that's what my uncle said on Facebook. Yes.
Your crazy uncle.
Yes.
Or your regular uncle.
My crazy Uncle George that sleeps in a sleeping bag on top of his covers. That's who said it, Allie.
She swears, Miley Cyrus said, it looked at me and we made eye contact. And I think that's what really shook me, looking into the eyes of something that I couldn't quite wrap my head around.
Yeah.
It was I was shaken for like 5 days. It bleeped me up.
It's what you get
again, it's not the drugs.
It's what you get
the UFO sighting.
It's what you get from messing with the devil's lettuce, Miley. And if I'm going to come to this planet from a faraway galaxy, far, far away, the first person I want to inspect is Miley Cyrus. So kudos to you, aliens. Kudos
to
you.
She's written songs about all the drugs and booze.
Of course she has.
That's why when somebody like that's like, yeah, I was high, but I swear I saw a UFO. I'm like, okay, can we talk about another time you saw a UFO then? Like, I can't.
103.7 Kiss FM. I was trying to figure out how we got on this conversation yesterday, Allie, and it clicked with me just now, what we were talking about. How people that are working from home that have kids kids doing school from home are interrupted on average 5 times a day
Their kids. And then I said, yes, I get interrupted nonstop. And then they asked for snacks and this and that.
Which evolved into that some of these parents actually deep down appreciated this because it had them more family meal times together than they used to.
That's right. People were happy they were eating dinner as a family.
They said the average family now eats 6 more meals together in a week than they used to.
I mean, I see my kids more, but do we sit down at the table and eat? Hell to the nah.
You don't do that?
No. And I, you know, I mean, I don't think we have done that in forever unless we're at a restaurant.
Like the old sit down at the table, everybody with no cell phones,
and every,
no TV.
No, and every night when I was a kid, we did that at my house. Like my family, we waited till either we got home from sports or my dad got home from work or he picked us up from sports and our mom, we got home and my mom had dinner ready. She worked too, by the way.
Yeah.
Full-time school psychologist. She had dinner ready and then we would eat every single night at the table.
At the dinner table.
Every night. And I wondered when I stopped doing that if it had something to do with my divorce, that there was some weird emotional thing going on with eating at the table and I couldn't do it anymore.
When you were married?
We did a lot.
Family dinners?
Not every night, but we did it a lot more. Yeah, because you have someone coming home, you eat dinner with them.
Yeah.
You know, now it's like, I don't have time for all that. And quite frankly, I don't care if I see you all day.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay if we don't eat dinner together. Do you guys eat dinner at the table?
Well, my wife works from home. She always has. That's her job, working from home.
Yeah.
So she's always been there.
Yeah.
And we always eat dinner on the couch. Like we'll sit on the couch and watch TV.
Same.
But we have a perfectly good table in the dining room that we could sit at. And I'm like, we never sit at this. All it does is collect mail.
Yeah.
And then we have a kitchen table as well where we can sit down.
It's
a
little tables that
we
could
sit
even
there.
Need.
We never sit at those tables and eat at them. So that drives me crazy sometimes because I would like to sit down at the table and just talk and not have the TV and not have our phones and just talk.
Well, that's funny.
Because that's how I feel. Because I like to have a conversation over dinner.
You're like a chick right now. I love it, dude. I remember having these conversations with boyfriends. Can we talk more?
I like to be able to talk and not have the distraction of TV because then we're just eating and not paying attention to each other. It's like sitting there on your phones with one another. Like it's pointless.
I get that as an adult. I get what you're saying about you want to have like a conversation with her, not watch TV.
So I try to shave it out. So I go, no phones and no TV, at least for the beginning part of our dinner. So we'll catch up on our day. How was everything?
That's relatable. Because I swear I said that to somebody I dated. Like, I feel like I never talk to you. So like when we sit down to talk, it like means a lot to me because we don't talk. We're so busy or we text and that doesn't count, you know? So you sit in front of the couch though.
We do,
what people do.
Yeah, 414-799-1037. You can call that number. You can also text that number. We read the texts. Because, like you said, there's the two tables. And you have two, don't you? There's the little one in the kitchen. And
Oh, that's what I was going to say. You know, they don't even build houses with dining rooms anymore.
No.
Which is telling in itself that...
because people are eating in the living room now.
It's such an outdated...
You use the dining room for family occasions when you have family over, obviously.
Yes.
Thanksgiving, Christmas.
But wasn't
Easter,
it just
Hanukkah,
a thing
Yom Kippur.
From back in the day when the husband came home and the wife, and now women work.
Yeah.
We have a lot of things going on. We don't have time to sit there and cook you this meal, just like you don't have time to run home from work and cook us. Maybe you do. Thank you if you do.
Yeah.
But there's a lot going on, especially if you have extracurricular activities.
Oh, I love
trying to get dinner in. I mean, now the phones are blowing up.
Good. Well, 414-799-1037. Do you still have the dinner around the table? The dinner at the table? Or do it in the living room now? How is it in your house? We want to know. 414-799-1037. We'll talk to you after Drake. It's Kiss. So they did a survey of 2,000 work-from-home parents, and they said that they're interrupted a lot by their kids while they're working from home, and that kind of sucks. And they're always having snacks, and they're having Wi-Fi and tech issues. But they did say that they're appreciating the situation because apparently the average family now eats 6 more meals together in a week than they used to.
Okay.
At home, at the dinner table.
because they don't have the activities or the running around as much.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I
that
said
totally
we still
does.
Eat in the living room, or I serve my kids at the kitchen island, and then I eat later, which, so by the way, somebody texted in, which I can get behind. They said, my kids want to eat at 4:30. I'm not eating at 4:30. Like, no. I can relate to that. My kids always try to get dinner at 4:35, and I'll feed them, but I'm like, I'm not eating dinner at 4:30.
Kids and old people love having supper at 4:30.
That?
Come on now. No.
Jeez,
no,
man.
Settle down. You can call or you can text 414-799-1037. Mm-hmm. Greenfield is Renee. That's where you are, Renee. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are things at your house with dinner in the evening?
Well, I thought it was funny with my situation.
Whoa, I didn't hear a word you just said. Renee, start over. I didn't hear a word you just said. It was really mumbly.
Yeah.
Sorry. My kitchen table, I got rid of it because just like yours, all it did was collect.
Are you covering the speaker on your
phone?
I'm in my car.
So you're saying you got rid of your kitchen table.
Okay.
Because no one ever ate it, and same thing, all it did was collect it.
All you did was call. I did with collect stuff. Is what you're saying.
Oh. We have a dog and she's big, so everything went on the table.
Yeah.
And all my kids, they all eat in their rooms now. And
they don't even eat in the living room.
I make two dinners sometimes at night.
Yeah. All right.
Hell no.
Well, thanks for calling. And we hope you get better cell service in Greenfield. Thanks. It's okay. It's not your fault. It's your provider's fault.
Like you're talking over your microphone.
Maybe she's talking with her mask on. Take off your mask, Renee.
Or a mask. It does sound like she has a mask on.
Might.
Something like that. Yeah.
This is Anna in Milwaukee.
That's
Anna,
right.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey. Do you still do an old-fashioned dinner around the table?
So when I was younger and I was growing up, I actually did that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My parents were like sticklers for it.
Yes, same.
And then, so like in high school, actually my parents were starting to get a divorce or separate or whatever. Because, you know, there was just certain things that happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I get it, whatever. So now that I have moved out, I try to do it with my boyfriend, and he does not want to at all. Hates it. And he's just like, I want to sit in front of the TV, watch TV, whatever. And I'm like, okay.
It's bringing me back to think there's some emotional connection for people that you do it because there's like a sense of family or closer knit something. Like there's something there. It's about the
it's
idea.
Very homey. It's nice. It's comforting.
Yeah,
it's very comforting.
Versus like, but she's like, I'm saying you're searching for more than just dinner at the table. It's deeper than that if you're fighting for this, is my point.
Do you guys talk throughout the day pretty regularly on the phone or in person?
In person, I mean, like, I'll ask him about how his day is at work or whatever on the drive home. He'll be like, fine.
Okay.
Like, he and I are so completely different.
Well,
like,
yeah, it's
I am
man and woman.
Yeah.
She wants to talk. He doesn't want
to
say
like
a thing.
To talk. Yeah, totally. And, like, he sits there and he's just like, okay, all right.
Yeah.
This. Mm-hmm. And, like, he just wants to play video games and come home and watch TV.
Yep.
Like, we have Big Brother tonight, so we'll sit there and watch Big Brother and get dinner tonight together. But, like, other than that, if we don't have, like, a mutual show to watch, he'll be in the one room and, like, I'll be by myself and I'll be at the kitchen table and I'm just like, okay, this is great, but I need something else, you know?
You just want a little more connection is all you want.
Yeah,
for sure.
Can you find a show that you guys can get along with, like, that you can bond over?
So we watch Big Brother right now, and we have, like, a few shows on, like, Netflix that we watch.
Right.
And, you know, we're waiting for them to come back with more seasons and stuff like that, but... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
I mean, I try sometimes, and like with big dinners, like if it's like, you know, like an anniversary dinner or like Thanksgiving or stuff like that.
Yeah.
I like that all at the kitchen table. But I mean, I get it, you know, and like we're freshly moved in, like I said, and we still even
give it a couple
years.
Yeah,
it's fresh.
That's
fresh
what
now.
I'm saying. She's in that honeymoon family phase that you want where it means something. And then in like 4 years, you're going to be like, I don't care where
you
we
will
sit.
Value his video
even,
game time.
Yeah. She won't even care if they're eating dinner together in like 4 years.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. And we don't even have furniture yet, so it's like not even the same to eat it on like the couch because we're just sitting in like the gaming chair couch kids sit in. So we're just like, oh my God.
It's like eating in a recliner. That's great.
Oh man.
Yeah.
I love that. All right.
Thanks, Anna. Somebody texted in Riggs and said, I'm 23 and I love eating at 4:30 because then my food will settle and I'll be able to eat ice cream and dessert before 7:30 and then my food will settle before bed.
That's speaking like a true adult. I like you.
Or a a true food addict.
Yeah.
You've got it that planned out.
I want to hang out with you. We're talking about if you do like the traditional dinner, like at the table, or if you just eat at the couch now. How are you doing this? 414-799-1037. We always talk to our friend Mike from Hartford, if you listen to the show. Mm-hmm. But now this morning, his wife...
Kathleen called in because she's the one. Well, they both have a newborn.
Yep.
But who's cooking in your house, Kathleen? You or Mike?
We split it up. It's both of us. I work from home, so it all depends. So it, sometimes it's him, sometimes it's me, and sometimes we're both lazy and just go get something to eat.
Fair. Mm-hmm. Fair. So when you eat dinner, is it done communally? Like, do you eat together at a table, or do you eat on the couch, or do you eat on the go? How does it go?
So we eat on the couch. We catch up like on our shows. When we moved into our house, we were very excited to actually have a kitchen table to sit at. And we'll sit here, and that never happened.
So yeah,
now, especially with baby, we are sitting in the living room on the couch eating whatever. You know, sometimes I'll eat first, and he gets the baby if she's, you know, fussy. But we always sit in the living room and
Same, man, same, Kathleen.
The kitchen table industry has really taken a dump over the past couple of years,
Dining room table, yeah.
Does anybody use a kitchen table anymore?
That's the thing. Like, if you don't have the dining room, you have I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't care about eating at the table. That's all I know. It's not a thing for me. It's an old school idea.
But I'd like that you guys alternate cooking. That's pretty awesome that you do that.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, if the baby's home with me and he's like, oh, I'll cook, or, you know, we try to make it equal as possible.
Right.
You know, he'll eat whatever I make. You know, I'll just put something together and he'll eat it. And
that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very equal in our home, I think.
Kathleen, tell Mike and the little girl Eileen that we said hello. And thank you so much for listening.
I'm sure he's listening and will call me and be like, oh my God, you called in?
You're on the radio?
I will definitely tell him.
Yes. Please do. Yes.
Nice.
Thanks, Kathleen.
You're welcome. Bye.
We'll talk to you later. 414-799-1037.
Well, think of all the people who grew up, you know, not around the table at all. Like, we grew up around the table. Some people are probably like, what the
table,
hell? We never did that. Are you crazy?
I have a little table that comes in front of me on the couch.
Yeah, especially single moms.
Yeah.
Like, now that I'm a single mom, please. Now I get it, honey.
You eat while you're driving, too.
Even care about that.
Right. We're going to sit around the dinner table. We're going to eat as a family, and you're going to like it.
You're going to like this old idea that was plastered into our heads. You gotta all eat around the table.
And when I ask how your day was, fine is not an answer.
It's like that those stupid commercials that show a happy family and they're all sitting around the table, but those don't exist.
Or do they?
When you're around the table with your family, you're all screaming at each other at Thanksgiving. Can we be real here?
Hey, but some people might do it on the regular. I don't know.
They do. People are texting in.
Some traditional people, man.
Somebody said, we have a TV mounted on the wall by the kitchen table.
There you go.
Somebody else said, who needs a kitchen table when you have a coffee table that raises.
Oh, fair. I like those.
Somebody
are cool.
Else texted in, LOL, can we talk about how expensive kitchen tables and chairs are? There's a reason people are eating in the living room.
Yep. No, thank you. Don't need it. 414-799-1037. You can call and chime in on the conversation. Who's on one? Who do we got here?
Angelina is in Milwaukee.
Sup, Angelina?
Hey, girl.
What do you have to say?
Hey, how's it going?
Going pretty, pretty good.
Yeah, well, my situation was, we had a traditional family dinner every day at 5 o'clock.
You were a kid, you mean?
When I was a kid.
Okay,
5 o'clock.
Now, I am 30 years old. I have a daughter that is 10. And we recently got two big dogs. So every kitchen table we got, they would chew the legs off. So it was like difficult to get a table that could stay intact without eating the legs off or something. So we finally found, within the last 4 months, the best, like, metal, like, heavy-duty table. So we're back to our traditional dinners.
Nice.
The other day, my husband was like, this is the best day and the best moment of, you know, since we got a new table, is sitting down with my two beautiful women and eating dinner with my family. It made me so happy because it's you know, it was a long time coming, and it's something special. People, like, take stuff for granted, and every day you don't have perfect
family time, the family.
Right, you do whatever you want for 23 and a half hours a day. You know, 30 minutes you can sit down with your family and have like a conversation and get to know one another.
Not doing it at 4:30 in the afternoon. I'm good.
Fair, yeah.
There, I'm not sitting with my kids to eat dinner at 4:30. But I do think because you didn't have it, you didn't take it for granted. Yeah. I feel like Angelina's like, we wanted to do it and we couldn't. Mm-hmm. So now that we could,
you
we're
appreciate
appreciative,
it more.
Yep. Which I totally get, you know.
Yes.
Angelina.
My daughter, she's so like, Mom, I'll take a TV dinner in front of the TV. But I'm like, no, we are going to do this. We're
going to
eat at the table.
There you go.
Yeah.
It means something to you, and I like that.
Somebody
yes,
else.
It does.
Thanks, Angelina.
In. Yeah, thank you, girl.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
As a parent, I don't care about tables. As long as they actually eat something, then I'm happy.
Susie is in Oak Creek at 414-799-1037. What's up, Susie?
Hi.
What's your take on this? Do you have dinner table, like dinner at the table every night as a family? Is this something you guys do?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
I have a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old.
Okay.
And for me, having dinner together is more of like an efficiency thing more than anything. Because it's just so much easier to get everything ready for everyone at the same time.
Yeah,
so,
instead of making 4 meals for 4 different people. Or you get one person that's choosy and wants something else. No, I already made chicken. You're having
you
chicken.
Get what
shut
you
up.
Get
and you don't throw a fit. That's right, Allie. That's right.
That's what we say.
Yeah.
But having everything done at the same time makes, I don't know, it just makes it so much easier. And a lot of times that's the only time we really sit down and are all together because everyone's busy and doing their own thing or playing or whatever. So.
I can't help but think, but if my family would have had more sit-down dinners together, they wouldn't be so jacked up as they are now.
No, that's not true. My family had them every night and we're jacked up. So
okay.
That's my point. It has nothing to do with it, man.
Yeah.
It literally, quality time is quality time, whether it's at the dinner table or on a Saturday at 2 p.m.
Yeah.
Like,
that's
you
true.
Don't have to, it's whatever it is to you, right?
Well, they used to make it the meal because you have to eat, so we're going to eat together as
it
a family.
It was this old school family.
Yeah.
Like, old school view. And it just makes me want to cringe
what
thinking about
up,
that 1950s, like, sit around the table.
And what it ended up being was then we would all eat as fast as we could to get the hell out.
Yeah, nobody wanted
I'm
to be
done.
There anyway.
I'm done with my food. Why
can
am I still
be,
sitting here?
Can I
be
excused? See? Nobody wants to be there but the mom or the dad, whoever's craving that.
There's
right?
no excuse for you is what my father would say. Hey, thanks so much for listening, Susie.
That's too funny. Yeah, thank you, Susie.
Susie does it. Who's on three? Who's this?
Allie's in Allie.
Oh, hi, Allie.
Another Allie is in Tulsa.
Hi.
Hey, girl.
Allie. So how do you feel? Do you do dinner around the table every night at your house?
Yes, we do, which is cracking me up how you guys are talking about how cringeworthy it
is to me now. It's the single mom in me, though. You have to remember I did it when I was married.
Yep.
So I'm convinced there's some kind of emotional, psychological issue about eating dinner at the table now that I'm a single mom. It just makes me cringe. I don't know why.
And Allie, you have kids, right? How many kids do you have? Two.
Yeah.
I only have one. You have two kids. Yes. Sorry, it's confusing. There's two Allies. Yeah.
Yes.
I have.
Oh, well, that's why she eats at the table. She only got one.
Uh-huh.
I only got one.
There you go.
But hey, it's a two-year-old who's constantly trying to leave the table.
Yes.
The new 2-year-old.
So you and the 2-year-old and your husband have dinner every night together.
Yeah, we do. We try to do every night at the table. But you know what? It's become quite a stabilizing routine for us during the pandemic.
Okay.
Okay.
So I find just having that sense of routine and it helps.
I was going to say, having a routine, especially during uncertain times, is key, especially for your mental health, too, because that's something you're looking forward to that you know you can control that, too.
Yeah.
That dinner. Because I'll tell you, there's many times where I'm like, I want to eat at the couch, which there's no problem with that. Everyone's got to do what they got to do. But coming together at the table, it's provided a lot of opportunity for at least my husband and I to have conversations maybe we don't want to have, but we're having them because we're all there together.
It's forcing him to talk to you.
Yeah. That's
right.
Good.
So it's been good. Mm-hmm. It's been bad. It's just something, and I was raised Irish Catholic on the south side of Chicago, and you better believe we always sat at the table every single night.
Hey,
so.
Same girl.
I
wasn't raised Irish Catholic, but it was the same idea that we sat at the table, period.
I was Roman Catholic, so I can get that. I understand where you're coming from. All the Catholics. And the guilt, too.
Right. And the guilt.
The side of guilt. Right. Oh, so much guilt. Guilt for dessert.
Bad. The phones
Thanks,
are blowing
Allie.
Up, but we got to go,
yeah.
dude.
Have a good one. We'll talk to you tomorrow. This is 103.7 Kiss FM. This is a commercial-free hour. We do them all day, every day.
Hi. This is on the TV, to the movie screen, and everywhere in between. This is the Hollywood Dirt with Allie.
Well, everyone is just being so mean, they said.
Oh, really?
Chris Pratt has been named the worst Hollywood Chris.
Oh, why?
Well, they had a picture of all the Chris's up.
Chris Pine, Chris Pratt,
yep.
Chris Evans.
Yes.
Chris Hemsworth.
Yes, and they had them all up, and he was then deemed the worst Chris in Hollywood because there's so many famous Chris's.
Yeah.
But then people started coming to his defense, like his wife, Katherine Schwarzenegger, which is funny, of course his wife is, but Mark Ruffalo, who's a Kenosha boy, he came to his defense. Robert Downey Jr. Many other people came up and said, no, he's a good guy. Some people thought it might have been because he expresses his political views on the conservative side more, and Hollywood's not really conservative, so people were just cutting him out when you had to pick your best Chris.
Right.
But he's 41. He's been trending because of all of this. And Katherine Schwarzenegger wrote, "Is this really what we need? There's so much going on in the world and people are struggling in so many ways. Being mean is so yesterday. There's enough room to love all these guys. Love is what we all need, not meanness and bullying. Let's try that."
I personally like Chris Pratt the most out of all those Chris's.
Yes,
I do.
Really? Why?
I like him. I think he's funny. I've always loved, I loved him in every role that he's ever played, honestly. He was Emmett, the voice in the Lego movie. He's been in the Jurassic Park franchise.
The Avengers is the biggest one of all.
He was Star-Lord in Avengers, of course.
My kid knows him as Emmett from the Lego movie, though. Yeah. Chris Pratt.
And he was on a TV show. It was the name of the show, Parks and Recreation. Parks and Rec as well.
Oh, that, there you go. And what about Jurassic Park? No, or all Jurassic World?
Yeah, the Jurassic World franchise, the whole one afterwards,
Interesting.
I like him. I've always liked Chris Pratt. I think he's funny. So
I don't know. He is like, you know how you put the pictures of the four Chris's up? Chris Pratt, Chris Hemsworth, Chris Pine?
Yeah.
I don't know if I could tell you who was who.
Which Chris is which?
I don't know if I could.
No?
I might get them mixed up. I'd get Hemsworth right.
Chris Hemsworth is Thor.
But I don't know.
You get Chris Evans.
Those three I might mix up.
Chris Evans and Chris Pine,
kidding.
I get confused. I get them confused all the time.
Yeah, so I might, honest to God,
which Chris
mix
is
them
this?
Up.
Which is why that was a sketch on SNL.
It was a sketch.
Which
a
Chris is
on
this?
SNL, because you can't tell the Chris's apart.
They're all the same.
Yes.
103.7, Kiss FM, Triggs and Allie.
Mm-hmm.
You may have to think long and hard about this, but it has to do with your clothing, Allie.
Oh, okay.
When was the last time that you got dressed up for something? Mm. Like, dressed up nice, like put on a good dress, maybe even shoes or something like that.
It was it March or April?
Okay, see what I mean? That's all right.
When we hosted the virtual gala.
Yes,
for the
Leukemia and Lymphoma Society.
You're right, Leukemia
Student
and
of the
Lymphoma
year.
Society. And that was in, and I dressed up. I got a dress on. I got makeup, hair. I had tennis shoes on because we were virtual. And that was the last time I got dressed up, okay?
Mine is the exact same thing.
Because, oh, no! That was the last time.
Because we were hosting that virtually. We were supposed to do it in person, the gala. It was right as everything was happening in March.
Yep.
Because I remember they were going to have it, and then they weren't. Then they were, then they weren't.
Mm-hmm.
And
then everyone was scrambling, trying to figure out what to do in that month that had things planned.
And it was the color, like the theme for Leukemia Lymphoma Society is red. Mm-hmm. So I had bought this red, like, dinner jacket that I was going to wear with these awesome black pants and these red wingtip shoes that I bought. I was so excited for that, dude.
Whatever, red wingtip shoes.
I did. They were so good. I got them on Amazon. They were cheap, too. And they looked great. I looked great.
Yeah.
But it was virtual. So I ended up just wearing the jacket on the top with a bow tie and gym shorts because nobody could see me below. I put that picture on my Instagram,
well,
I think.
And
but
that's sad because think of the things we would have been to other stuff. Weddings.
Oh,
I had a wedding that got canceled in September. So think of, there would have been things I would have dressed up for.
Do you think you'll appreciate appreciate getting dressed up for things more after we start going back?
I think I'll be annoyed by
you
it
still
because
hate it?
It feels even more stupid now that you realize what's important in the world. Like, I miss having events and calendar stuff, but
now
is that important anymore?
Now
getting dressed up?
Sweatpants, yoga pants, and hoodie is like standard attire for everybody now.
And I'm for it, man.
Yeah, I am too.
The one good thing.
But sometimes I like getting dressed up. As a dude, I like getting dressed up.
Yeah.
I feel good when I put on a suit.
Mm-hmm.
If it's fit well and I'm going out and I look nice, I feel good.
I do like
dressing up.
Yes, it makes you feel good to get ready. And even just getting ready with a cute shirt and jeans in the past like month made me feel good. All I did was get a regular day outfit on with makeup and I felt like $1 million, man.
It's
I'm
little
like,
victories.
Woohoo, I am hot today.
I wore real pants yesterday. I don't know if you noticed. I wore real pants yesterday. Yeah.
Well, speak for yourself. I've had on yoga pants every day this week.
So when's the last time you got dressed up for something? Or maybe it's something that you're looking forward to getting dressed up for eventually.
If you still have to dress up to go to work every day in 2020, I feel for you. Because what do you do for a living?
What are you, Mark Baden?
Lawyer.
Are you doing the weather?
Even lawyers, half of them are virtual.
Yeah, they are.
Court stuff virtual.
Kruger's probably doing his virtual appointments in a polo shirt and his pajamas.
Oh, man.
414-799-1037. That's the number. You can call us and you can text us. Either one. What are you getting dressed up for? The last thing you got dressed up for. You get all dressed up, but nowhere to go. 103.7 Kiss FM. That's what the pandemic will do to you. Allie, you were just saying you don't know if anybody out there still has to get dressed up for work.
Well, because it's hard. There are still lots of people still going to work.
Yeah.
Who are these meetings with?
I wanted to talk to Stephanie first, who just called in. She's getting ready to walk into work up for work.
Okay.
So you still have to get dressed up
for work. Poor thing.
What do you do?
I'm a banker.
Okay. Oh. Do people still come in the bank?
Yes. Some of the banks I've noticed only have drive-thrus open, but our bank is 7 days a week, and we have in person.
You're a credit union then. Right?
No, I think banks are open too.
7 days?
I didn't mean they were closed because of COVID. I just meant, does anyone go into a bank at all or just do it online is what I was getting at.
I thought it was clear.
Nope,
7 days a week.
Definitely still do.
All right.
I know, they're my parents. They're the ones that go into the bank.
Who's applying for these loans where they have to come into the bank?
Some people just go in there to get money, dude.
Right?
Like, don't you have people that are afraid of ATMs, probably?
We do.
Yeah.
Okay.
See? They don't trust them. That computer.
Who else comes into the bank? What else would you have to go physically into a bank for? Signing a loan or getting something notarized? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, everything. Mortgage applications, loan applications, opening, closing accounts.
Okay. Mm-hmm. People still got to do it,
tell
I guess.
Them you
have money orders and cashier checks and stuff.
Yeah. Tell them there's a website next time.
Right.
That was what I would do nicely. You know, there's a online stuff.
Are a lot of the things that people come in there for, Stephanie, they can also do online and you can...
Like, most of that is true.
Yes. Okay. Come on, Riggs. It's 2020,
I just wanted
Riggs.
To call it like it was.
I'm making fun of people like my parents who don't trust the internet.
Well, I'm glad that there are people like Stephanie out there for people like your parents.
It's
so
true.
They can have the face-to-face interaction.
Or if I need something from the bank, then I'm happy she's there. Absolutely.
And thank you for having treats for my dog and giving him a
and
complex.
Lollipops for my kid.
Yeah, thank you. Stephanie, have a great day. We appreciate you listening this morning.
Poor Stephanie.
Right, thank you.
She's got to go work at a bank, man. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Well, that's not what I'm worried. I feel bad she's got to dress up.
Yeah.
That's what I feel bad about.
Courtney's,
Ashley. Oh, Courtney.
Oh, Courtney. Sockville.
Courtney's in Sockville.
What up, Courtney? Are you there?
Oh, I'm at... Yes.
She's doing the whisper at
that's
work.
That's right.
Okay, go, girl.
So I'm at work and I'm dressed up and I have to dress up every single day.
What do you do?
So I work at a child advocacy center.
Okay.
So we work with children who are victims of sexual abuse, physical abuse, trafficking, and domestic violence.
Yeah, that's good work that you do.
Thank you for everything you do, but why do you have to be dressed up for that is my question.
We have to look presentable. We work with police, DAs, things like that.
Government workers, I guess.
So I guess if you have a nice outfit on, you're a better... advocate or something.
The bias is
the
internal bias we have of seeing something dressed up. You're going to respect them more, and they're more presentable. But I don't know how it would be about what you know and what you say more than what you're wearing.
Right.
I would think in that situation,
right?
That's
I mean, my coworkers do get videotaped, and those are shown at court. So I guess you would probably want to look nice.
Yeah, that's fair. All that makes sense. I get you.
Well,
okay.
Thank you so much for listening,
Courtney.
Sorry,
you have to dress up.
But thank you for the work that you do.
Yes,
it's important
thank
work.
You.
Thank
That's
you.
That's right.
Last call.
Ashley's in Sheboygan.
What up, Ashley? What's the last thing you had to get dressed up for?
I'm a hairstylist, so I'm still getting dressed up for work, full hair, full makeup every day.
Hold on. Don't you guys just wear all black outfits and just do your hair and makeup real nice? Come on. I've been to a salon in my time.
Sure, a Redken shirt or a Revlon shirt?
It's like all black. It's like your wife, Riggs. Like your wife could be a cosmetologist because they wear these amazing all black outfits and then their hair and makeup are on point and it just looks right.
Yeah.
Yes. We actually are allowed to wear colors, so I can wear colors besides just black. But still dress clothes. No jeans, unfortunately.
But dress clothes, okay. Is it more of an upscale place that you have? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
I pay a lot for my haircut. I don't care if you're wearing jeans or not. That's where I'm at. Right. But hey, I get it. It's about the business. You want to be presentable.
So you're still getting dressed up for your work at the salon. All right. Thank you for calling. Mm-hmm. Appreciate you listening. One more call.
Okay.
Tony again. Damn
the
it.
Dial tone.
Damn
Tony.
It, Tony. It's 103.7 Kiss FM.
I'm just over here in my boot slippers and my yoga pants.
Yeah. Wow. When you have a mission. Got to go after, man. You got to have a crusade. Everybody has a passion. And McDonald's employees.
Has a passion about stupid stuff, too.
This is a serious one, though, Allie, I think.
Yeah.
Know, it's no secret that McDonald's ice cream machines have had a history of not working. Sometimes you can't get ice cream at a McDonald's.
You pull up and they'll go, our machine isn't working. It's like a nightmare.
Again.
Yeah, you're like, what?
They've even themselves made fun of it. McDonald's, the official Twitter account, sending out on August 11th, they tweeted out, we have a joke about our soft serve machine. But we're worried it won't work.
Oh,
so they're even aware. They are even aware of the fact that it's a problem. So here's what's happening now. A bunch of McDonald's franchise owners don't think it's funny. Because they're like, people want ice cream.
It is actually, they're fair in that.
Yeah.
If you're trying to run a business, something doesn't work, it's not funny to you because people are pissed.
No,
right?
They're like, we're losing money from people who can't buy ice cream from broken machines. So they're taking matters into their own hands. Mm-hmm. What they've done is they've started this little independent organization to find ice cream machines.
They?
These independent franchise owners. They've all
the
banded
McDonald's
together.
McDonald's owners that
all
own
of these,
that own them by themselves.
It's a small group of rogue McDonald's franchise owners that are going to find an ice cream machine that works, that's legit, that they can then propose to McDonald's corporate and say, replace the machines with these ones that won't break down all the damn time. Why wouldn't you go to somebody like Dairy Queen or somebody that always has an ice cream machine that works and maybe use that technology and your technology? Like, it
or
would make
other
sense.
Options, which they do have. But I mean, at Dairy Queen, if they're at a Dilly Bars, you got 900 other
options.
Dilly
Bars.
But if you're
at
McDonald's, it's like McFlurry or McFlurry. What else? What would you like if we don't have a cone?
I would always. I love a dipped cone. I love a vanilla ice cream cone dipped in chocolate.
So
that's
good.
My jam. And when
that's
they don't
a
have
lot
it,
of people's jam, Riggs.
And when they don't have it, I get a little frustrated. So I'm glad that they're taking matters into their own hands, and they've already pitched this to McDonald's to maybe have this new technology approved so that they can have a working ice cream machine.
This is work relatable. Forget about McDonald's for a second.
Yeah.
This is relatable with any job where things break.
Oh, God.
And you're
don't
so
start.
Pissed.
No. Oh,
no, this is the real relatable moment in this is when something at your job doesn't work and you're like, wait, wait, Jeff. Just fix it!
Yes!
That's
all you need.
What they're doing.
I
it's
just
want
to do my job, what you're paying me to do. I just want to make my customers happy.
I need an ice cream machine.
Right?
Is that too much to ask?
I just want a stable Wi-Fi connection. That's all I need in my office.
Right? Right?
So who knows? Maybe working ice cream machines coming to a McDonald's near you. It's Kiss FM with Doja Cat.
Hey, hi. This is on the TV, to the movie screen, and everywhere in between. This is the Hollywood Dirt with Allie.
Okay, so Kim Kardashian has just now settled with the security company who was supposed to be protecting her that night that she was tied up, robbed at gunpoint, put in the bathtub. They took a $5 million ring and a lot of other stuff.
Yep.
But her security guard at the time left and went out with Kendall and Courtney to watch them at the nightclub.
Yeah.
That was when people posed as police, somehow got into where she was staying, and literally tied her up and held her at gunpoint, which would be pretty traumatic. So she has now finally settled with that company that was supposed to be her security, because I'd say they were neglectful in that moment. And they settled with a $6.1 million lawsuit. So I don't know what she's going to do, but it should go to victims of crimes like that.
Yes, or mental health for her and mental health for other people who have been victims of violence and abuse or anything like
that.
Well,
she can afford that.
She can. course you can.
They can probably go to, they're the people that can go to therapy every day if they want.
They're the kind of people that have therapists that travel with them.
That's right.
Let's be honest.
It's like having a hair and makeup person. Yeah. Like, I would kill for that.
I would too.
I would kill for the therapist over the hair and makeup person, quite frankly.
Who is this? Your bodyguard? No, this is my therapist. This is Paul, my therapist.
Right.
He's a good guy. Uh-huh.
So, Kim Kardashian settles. That was in 2016.
Wow, that
happened.
That long ago?
4 years ago that happened when she was robbed.
In Paris.
Yep.
It's 103.7 Kiss FM. Who are we praising now? Who?
Nobody. We're praising the makers of one product because without it, man, would everybody be real funky. We're talking about how to make your breath not stink when you're wearing a mask. I do this with myself. I do this with my children. Because Riggs looked at me and he goes, how do you manage, you know, bad breath smell inside of your mask? I go, it's called gum, my friend. I've got more gum circulating around my house and car because of it. My kids, I give them a piece of gum before they put their mask on. I go, this will make it smell better and it will give you something to do with your mouth where you're busy, so you're not grabbing everything off the shelves like they normally would. You just focus on your gum chewing inside of your mask and it works. So I don't think I ever go anywhere without putting gum or a mint in my mouth. And then the mask over.
But it's for you, though, because you're the only one that can smell it.
Yeah, I don't care about anybody else.
Wearing a mask
Are you worried about other people?
No. But wearing a mask totally makes you aware of your own breath and how bad it smells.
So nasty.
So bad.
So nasty.
Especially right after you have a snack. Like, I had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich before I went to give blood yesterday. And the whole time that I'm walking through to get my blood taken, I can just smell peanut butter and jelly. I mean, at least it was a good smell. I was like, oh, that was such a delicious sandwich. But sometimes it's not so good. So
you can't get away from it.
You do the gum.
What do you do to make your breath smell better?
Mentos.
Okay.
The fresh maker has always been my go-to as a mint.
The mint one?
Yeah, of course.
Because my mom always buys those.
The fruit ones?
And she gets the fruit ones. Oh, I used to love them.
Nancy, your mom, Nancy. Come on, Nancy.
I loved the fruit ones.
No.
I loved them. Oof. I haven't had them in like 2 years, obviously, because I don't mess with sugar.
Maybe I should try them again, but when I tried them, I did not like them. I love the original fresh maker, the mint ones.
Yeah, no.
That's my jam.
Yeah.
100%.
Gum all day long, man.
what do other people use? We're curious. 414-799-1037.
Or maybe you just don't care, or maybe you just don't wear one, and so you really don't give a damn.
Yeah, maybe.
Those people exist as well.
They do. You can call 414-799-1037. How do you get your breath to smell better under there? What are you doing? What are you doing? We want to talk to you next. Hold on. 414-799-1037. That's our number. You can call it or you can text it. Mm-hmm. We were just having a discussion about how repulsive your breath is when you're wearing a mask because you really get a sense of how bad your breath is.
Ugh. It's like being stuck inside a nasty... It's like being stuck inside your own mouth.
Which at the end of the day, isn't this a problem with oral hygiene, I think?
Because your breath's usually not blown right back in your face for 20 minutes on end while
But I'm wondering if a dentist would call if your breath is supposed to smell bad at all, like if that's a normal thing. Like from a hygienist standpoint or somebody who's always wearing a mask for healthcare purposes.
Yeah.
Like if it's normal for your breath to smell bad.
Yeah, I think unless you just brushed,
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know why it would smell amazing.
Well, you can call, you can text 414-799-1037. Maybe not amazing, but not awful and repulsive like mine does.
I don't know. I don't make out with you. Ask your wife, dude. I don't
know
if
your
damn breath stinks.
I went to kiss my wife and she was like, what did you eat today? And I go, that means I need to brush my teeth, doesn't it? Good morning, Amber.
Amber's in Waukesha. Hi. Hey, girl.
What's up? How do you deal with your hashtag?
How are you guys doing?
Good. How do you deal with your hashtag mask breath?
So, I am a heavy coffee drinker, a lot less than I used to be.
Oof, yeah.
Altoids and a peppermint infused oil roll-on that you put on the inside of your face mask.
What?
That's actually good.
A roll-on, like an infused oil that people sometimes put on your wrist.
An essential oil almost?
Yes.
Okay.
And you put it on the inside of your mask, and it makes the mask overall smell better, and it relieves stress.
Oh, jinx.
Look at that.
And so then, but then you wash your mask, right?
Yes.
Okay, so then do you just reapply it every time you wash your mask?
Yeah, I work in a salon, so I change my mask like every hour.
Okay.
So every new mask, I just put a quick little dab of it on there.
It doesn't take much.
Yeah.
I was talking to a friend about this, and they were like, what do you do with your mask? I go, I wash it, and I go, and the disposable ones I throw away. And they're like, so you don't like reuse your mask over and over? And I go, no, you're not supposed to, but I'm worried a lot of people do.
Oh, yeah.
That makes me want to throw up, actually.
By the way, thank you for throwing your mask in the garbage, because I see so many still scattered in like parking lots. I've seen them on the park, like out in the park on a trail in the middle of nowhere. I'm like, who just...
And if you have a disposable one, pull the strings off, by the way, for wildlife.
Oh, yeah.
Heads up.
Hashtag save the turtles.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So essential oils is what you use, Amber.
Yeah,
All right.
Interesting. I like it. Yeah. It's like a scented... You know, mask.
You make it up. Yeah.
It's cool what she
I've also seen Hormel is making bacon scented masks.
Well, I'll just eat bacon.
Which is a true thing.
I don't need them to make anything.
I don't want
to
eat my mask, or maybe I do. Thanks for calling, Amber.
Have a great day, guys.
You too.
Thanks,
we'll talk to you tomorrow. That's a legit thing. Did you know that? They're making bacon-scented masks.
Again, I would just eat bacon if I want my breath. I'd rather eat bacon and have my breath smell like
than
bacon.
Than smell it and just be hungry for it the whole time, right? yes, 103.7 KISS FM, Riggs and Allie. You can always get our show with that radio.com app because your phone is now your radio. You're like, what's radio.com? That's our app. You can download it. Use your phone to listen to us. So when you get to work, just take the phone in, throw in the headphones, the earbuds, or whatever you got.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to us on demand. Did you learn anything on the show this morning, Allie?
What did I learn about you today, Riggs? Oh, we talked about mental health.
We did,
at 6:30. That was a very, very intense conversation. I hope people go back and listen to it.
Yeah. I had an acquaintance of mine, a man that took his own life the other day and was another classic example of men who don't talk about their feelings and get things out and stuff things down and hide it until it bursts and becomes... Either they lash out at someone else or they lash out at themselves because they're afraid to seek help. So don't be afraid to.
They can't get the pain to stop.
Yeah.
So
don't be afraid.
We had a good convo about
that.
Reach
out for help. I learned something about you.
What's that?
You are in the group of people that enjoys eating dinner at the couch.
You're damn right.
Much like myself.
But yes.
But I do kind of wish that I still ate at the table. And we realized that a lot of people who called in the show this morning still do that.
Yeah. And I beat myself up for a while for not sitting down with my kids at the dinner table. And then I went... What do I care about this? Is this a quality time? Is quality time whether it's laying in bed talking, watching a movie, going to a park, or eating at the table?
And some people were saying how they value that dinner time, that thing that they look forward to. It's routine for them. So,
in fairness, I said our family sat at the table every night when I was a kid. And we're all screwed up.
Yep.
So,
as did ours. That guilty Catholic family.
It's not like sitting at the dinner table made us better people.
Right, no, we're actually maybe worse. Because of it.
Right? Because we bought into the whole what we're supposed to look like on the outside.
Yeah, how we're supposed to act,
Oh, man.
All right, so enjoy the rest of your day. Another commercial-free hour happens at noon with Julia on 103.7 KISS FM.
Riggs and Allie.
It's Riggs and Allie.
Weekday mornings and always on demand at 1037kissfm.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.